good.
Well, God keeps his promises. And right at the beginning he said, and you'll know the familiar words, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Let's trust God's good word and not live in fear or doubt or uncertainty. So rather than one sermon, we're having three short little talks this morning. And quite rightly, the first one is to do with giving thanks. Giving thanks to God. We've just read about a God who made everything and made everything good. For he is good. And he made everything that you might enjoy what he's made and thank him for it. And that's what we should do. Things that can be eaten, we enjoy that. Food, clothing, and so on. So we can thank God for water. Clean water we have. And what about the seas? And what about all the fish in the seas as well? We've mentioned food, haven't we? Are you glad when it rains? Some people are. It's good that it rains. It's amazing, isn't it, how God could take water from the sea, put it up there. Those clouds weigh tons and tons, so heavy. But how do they stay up there? But they do. And then they move across, and where they're needed, it comes down, as he determines. And then, of course, there's the sun, isn't there? Everything keeps alive through the sun coming through, as it's coming through now. How important that is for us. And one of the things that the sun brings, and I know we like this, is warmth, isn't it? So most of us will be warm, and all of us in some way or other will be kept warm through the winter months, I trust. And then what about air? Is that really there? How can you tell air is there? That's it. You can feel it, can't you? If you wave your hand, you can feel the air. Thank the Lord for the air. And a great gift, as the Queen was told, the greatest gift given to us is the Word of God. Okay? The Bible. And we have that. And I hope you've all had one as you came through the door, hymn book and a Bible. Love your hymn book, love your Bible. So what we don't want to do is just take what God gives us and never say thank you to him. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Yes, all which God created is to be received with thanksgiving. So a number of times the Bible says we should do that. And that's not just the things, but it's also wonderful support that God gives us in life, which is other people, our families. And we need to thank God for those who care for us. And that is God's way of protecting us, giving us security and love. And the sign that we love God is that we love other people and help keep our families together as best we can. God also listens to everything we say. Everything. Like a big recording that's going on. And one day he's going to replay that and he's going to ask you what you said. And that's why we're told in the Bible that every word we'll have to give an account for. So there shouldn't be any foolish talk or bad jokiness, but rather thanksgiving. And the God who provides everything says, trust me for it. Come and trust me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So pray about it. Whatever it is, pray about it. Take it to the Lord. And he really says, try me in this. If you trust me, you'll be amazed at what I can do. So do you say thank you to God? Breakfast? Lunch? Out in the morning? On your way to school? Yeah? Thank you to God. That's really important. And that's really saying, I'm needy. I look to you. Without you, I have nothing. And I know you are generous. Please provide. Give us this day our daily bread. And so to thank God is to put him in his right place as the one who gives us everything, and puts us in the right place as the one who receives everything which comes from him. So it's really important to do that. And if we do that, and if we entrust him with everything, even though we have nothing of ourselves except our own sins, he says, you will be made rich in every way. And if you're generous with other people, then they will thank God for what you have given them. And so we should be generous people if we've received from a generous God. Well, one of the reasons why the Bible is quite a thick book is that sadly many people didn't say thank you to God. And even though God gave them things, they didn't remember or thank him for them. And I'm just going to read from Psalm 78, which says, the people that God had saved did not keep God's covenant, that's his agreement, and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. And God had shown that he could provide everything, and he did. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? What do you think? Can he? When there's nothing there in the desert, can God provide food? If you trust him, he will. Somehow. You don't have to ask why or how, but he will if you trust him. Well, God stopped providing when they were disobedient. He brought punishment. And whenever he brought punishment, then they turned back to God. They would seek him and eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would turn away and they would forget again. Yet God was merciful. He forgave their sins and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. So do not worry about things. Jesus says, seek me and my righteousness, which is something that he gives you so that you can enjoy being at one with Jesus. Seek me first, and all these other things, all those other things that you worry about, will be given you. In fact, when it says seek me first, it means above all else, all the other things. Way above, seek Jesus, and he will take care of that. So look to him. Ever had a teacher at school say, don't look over there, look to me? Well, that's what Jesus says. Don't look over there, don't look over there, look to me. And he'll take care of everything. You can trust him. You play Conkers? Perhaps
yeah.
You don't?
Perhaps yeah, I was playing it this
you do?
Morning. I was playing Conkers in the house.
In the house?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Where do they come from?
Trees.
Which one?
Trees.
Any tree?
Conker trees.
Conker trees. That's a good answer, isn't it? Conker trees. Yeah, and what do you know? Perhaps we'll move back a bit. And what do you know which?
Horse chestnut.
Horse chestnut. That's right. Yeah. And in fact, they were brought to England about 400 years ago from Turkey. They're very much in Eastern Europe. And they have been widely planted in Britain, and so you see them everywhere. And there's a horse chestnut tree. So, large tree, isn't it? But lovely conkers. Apparently, conkers are called conkers because they used to be called conches, which is a word for snail. And before they used conkers, they used to use snails. How about that? Playing a game with snails. So, and the first conker game was in the Isle of Wight in 1848. So there you are. A bit about conkers. But aren't they nice and shiny in the sun? Yeah? I mean, I haven't played conkers for a while. I've got a few other things to do. But I must say, when I see a nice conker, I pick it up, I take it home, I put it on my desk. Anyone else do that?
Yeah.
Own up? No? Take a conker. Doesn't it look so nice? Yeah, but do you know what I wouldn't do with it? Is put it in the ground, because then it would get dirty, wouldn't it? And it'd be spoiled, and it would. Oh, I don't know. Well, that's interesting you say that, Rebecca. Actually, because that's what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And Jesus said those words to help us try and understand what was going to happen when he died, which was soon after he said these words. And many thought his death was the greatest disaster that the world has ever known. God himself being nailed to a cross like that, not a crime against humanity, it's a crime against God himself. And every death, in a sense, is a sadness and a disaster and a great heartache, isn't it? But not with him. His death was a way of bringing life. And you might say, because he rose again, one death, one life. Is that fair? His own life came back again? Yeah? Well, he says here, doesn't he, that one death will bring many lives. This one death actually can bring many to life. If the seed dies, put that in the ground, it then produces many seeds. So when Jesus died, it produced life for many people. And the people who came to ask him a question when he answered that actually come from all parts of the world. And Jesus was really saying, actually, my death is going to bring life for you, for many of you. And the Bible says very clearly, for if many died by the trespass, the sin of one man, who's that one man? Adam? Yeah? You're going to say that, weren't you? Yeah? Okay, Adam. How much more did the gift of life come through the death of one man? Who is? Jesus. Okay? That's right. So we all died because of Adam, but we all died because of our own sin. But Jesus' one death can bring life to people here, across the city, across the country, and across the world. So many. Amazing, isn't it? So, as Rebecca said, you can put it in the ground and you have a horse chestnut tree. Okay? So one seed, one conker going in the ground can produce a large tree. So how many conkers do you have in a chestnut tree? Any ideas? Millions? I don't know about millions. That's a nice thought.
No, because
how many do you think?
Hundreds of them, because some fall, then more grow, and some
fall, and more grow. Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I haven't got an answer to that. So if you have an answer, if you're sort of people who kind of fill your minds with these sorts of information, then do say. How many conkers come from a conker tree? Horse chestnut. Okay. So, one conker in the ground produces many conkers. So Jesus is saying his death can produce life for many, many people. But then he says, actually, if you want to live with me, you have to die as well. Now that's not physical death. He's saying you have to die to yourself. You have to die to your love of self. And that's the problem why we don't enjoy God, is because I'm in the way. And he says, if you're willing to die to your self-love, then you can enjoy me and live with me forever. And that's why he goes on to say in the next verse, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it forever, for eternal life. So you have a big choice to make. Who are you going to love, yourself or Jesus? Big choice. You can either live for yourself or you can live for the God who gave you everything. Take it all now and you'll lose it later. We were talking Friday about paradox. If you lose it now, you'll have it later. So big choices as to who you're going to serve. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. So there's a promise that Jesus has, that as he's gone up to heaven, if we look to him and follow him and deny myself, I can too look forward to heaven. And most people would say, I want to go to heaven when I die. But here's the way. Look to him. So Jesus' one death can produce life for many, many people. Make sure That's you. Make sure that's you. Okay. First we had giving thanks to God, and then we had the seed going in the ground and producing many seeds or lives. And now we're going to be thinking about growing. Okay? Which is the fastest growing plant do you think there is on Earth? Anybody know which grows fastest? Any idea? Plants? Weeds. It feels like it, doesn't it? Weeds are growing the fastest. Okay? Yeah, I can see you're out in the garden, that's good. Any other ideas?
Grass.
What do you say? Vines? No. No, there could be sunflowers actually. Tim's done a great job with the sunflowers outside. They seem to be growing. I think they're starting to keel over, aren't they?
Yeah, a little.
Grass.
Trees. Okay. No. Grass. She's right. She's right. The fastest growing plant is the bamboo. And the reason why it grows so quickly is because it's not a tree, even though it grows as high as the trees, it's actually a grass. Grass only grows so high and stops, but bamboos keep on growing. In fact, every day they grow this much. So while we've been together this morning, they've probably grown about that much. And if you're really bored, you could actually watch them grow. How about that? So bamboo. Here we are. Yeah. So the obvious question is, how fast are you growing? A lot. You're growing fast. I can see you're growing fast, actually. And some of the other ones here as well. Yeah. Are you amazingly fast or medium? Or very slow, or maybe you're not growing at all. Well, I'll tell you what, we're all changing because we live in time, we are all changing. But the question is, are we growing? How are we changing? Are we changing for the better, or are we just growing older? Are you just growing older, or are you changing for the better, growing in other ways as well? Well, there comes a time when you keep growing and growing and growing, you wish you were changing in other ways because it seems like it's too late to do anything about it. Well, we are told that we should grow, not just in height, but in grace and knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. Do you know more about God now than you did 2 months ago? Grow in grace. That's what he wants for all of us. And we're told that actually Jesus grew. It said Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. If he did, so should you and I. And the boy Samuel, actually we're told that he was set apart for God, and the same is true of him. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favour with the Lord and with men. So it should be true for you and me, for all of us here. For you, and for you, everyone in this room, to grow. Okay? Well, Jesus was speaking about a vine. We don't have a vineyard here, but we do have a pot. Okay? And the pot has soil in it. And remember, Jesus spoke often about soil being like our heart. Okay? Remember, he spoke about whether we have good soil or bad soil, what kind of soil we have there as well. Is your heart soft and good, or is it hard and stony? There's a question, isn't it? In fact, when they're getting ready for the Olympics in London, they had to go through all the stony ground and filter out all the stones so that they have nice soft soil. So maybe we need a bit of change in our heart to make it a bit softer than it is at the moment. Okay? And then course, we're going to put into the soil the seed. And Jesus says, his word plants as good seed in the soil. What's going to happen to it? Will anything happen at all? Well, that's the only way we can really build our lives, is to make sure that it starts with him. And he says he puts his seed in us through his word, and we respond to that, and then we find him. So he's alive now, he's calling out, and we can find him to start our lives in the right way. He's the only good starting point for our lives. No good building in any other way, because if you get the wrong seed, you end up with the wrong plant, don't you? I mean, occasionally some people buy a pack of seeds and they think they're planting something, and then when it grows up, it's something completely different. Didn't see that on the packet, you know? I wonder if you've had that experience. So you get the seed wrong, and you get the wrong plant at the end of it, don't you? So if you feed yourself, or you plant a seed in your life of lots of telly and fast food and videos and phone time, and think about yourselves and how you look and what other people think of you, you're sowing into your life bad things. Produce a bad result at the end, unfortunately. And that's why we're told, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And there's a particular one girl, particularly, who loves to be the centre of attention, doesn't really think much about helping other people. She's pleasing her own nature. And then another man comes to mind who had some people laugh at him and mock at him, and he said, I'm going to get my own back on those. Well, the way we treat other people is the way God is going to treat us. He's acting in pride, that man and that woman. He's not considered that the one who sows to please his sinful nature, that's my flesh, that's what I want to do, from that nature will reap destruction. And if you don't forgive others, don't expect God to forgive you. He will treat you the way you treat others. If you're generous, he will be generous to you. So God is a little bit different based on how you are to him, actually. But then he goes on to make this promise. The one who sows to please the Spirit of God, please God, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. So let's think about a few things that we need to grow well. Okay? We need to start properly, and then we need to grow well. Okay? So, is that a tree or a post, do you think?
Post.
Post? You're not very sure about that? Okay, that's good. What do you think, tree or post? Post? Okay. Okay, what's the difference between a tree and a post?
A tree?
It's thick and it has wood lines and
the
light glass,
and
a post is more smooth. Yes.
And it's more. It's not textured.
It doesn't have bark on it usually, does it? It doesn't have bark on it. No. So we're getting into detail here. But the essential difference is that trees grow and posts rot. Trees grow. But posts rot, and we all know that, don't we? Sad to say. So, we need to make sure that we have something that's growing. And so we'll put that here, and here's a vine. Okay. Become a vine. Yes.
Where's the roots?
Well, it's coming in from the seed, okay? You can't see what happens underneath the soil, but it's a good thing, okay? In fact, they have lots of roots. You're quite right. You're quite right. Okay, so we need to see something grow. And what God wants to see grow in your life is not just greenery. And sometimes you go up to a plant and think, well, shouldn't there be some berries here or something? And you look and you don't find anything at all. What he wants is many, many
I'm not sure which way up we should be, actually.
That way. Okay. Yeah, it should go down, shouldn't it? Yeah. Very good. In a
while since I picked away. So the fruit of God in us flowing over.
And you remember when they went to the promised land, they had such a big pile of grapes, they could hardly carry them. So that's what he wants to see in your life as well, and in my life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are things that come from having Jesus in your life. And usually it's very obvious to see. It will be obvious. Love for God, enthusiasm for the things of God, zeal, desire for Him. And that is the fruit of righteousness that God wants in your life. As they say, if Christ is the root, then Christ will be the fruit. Okay? Get the starting point right, and then you can expect good things that He will do in your life. Okay? Rain? Christ's words. What would happen if there's no water? Well, it wouldn't grow, would it? Wouldn't grow. We've seen quite a lot of time without any water at all. And tomato plants particularly, people tell me, need lots and lots of water. And so it's really important that we feed ourselves of God's word. Otherwise you won't grow. And that's us Christians. If we don't keep reading and putting in more of God's word, then we're not going to think properly. We're not going to grow in our life, in our character. And that's why it's really important. That's why we give everybody a Bible when you walk through the door. So that you love God's word. And He will speak to you. Because when you read it, you know, that's for me. That's for me. So keep reading God's word. And you won't remember all of it, just like you won't remember everything you've eaten. But it will do you good. It's really important. Can you remember what He said? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay? Maybe we should make that our next memory verse. Okay? So we need to keep feeding and feeding the water of God's word. And in fact, it was a vineyard with a vine right in the middle of the vineyard. And unlike the other vines, it didn't seem to be growing properly. And it was very strange. Why is one vine not growing properly? And they investigated and they discovered actually that beneath that vine was a well. There's some old sort of rotten wood and things. And actually the root couldn't get down to the water. So it didn't grow properly. But it's really important that we have plenty of water coming up all around, which is God's word. And one person said, Wilbur Chapin said, my rule for Christian living is this. This is what's important. Anything that dims my vision of Christ, or takes away my taste for Bible study, or cramps my prayer life, or makes Christian work difficult, is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. So let's make sure we feed ourselves well with God's word. Okay. And I know you like this one. Okay. Sunshine. So, I wonder what we could say is sunshine. Maybe we could say Jesus' spirit that gives life. Jesus is in heaven, but He also came to live in people by His spirit. So that's how Jesus lives in people and changes people today. The spirit of Jesus. He's the one who brings life. He lightens up our minds so we can understand the things of God. And it says here, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, right at the beginning of the Bible when He made this world, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So Jesus helps us see God clearly. And if you're not sure, if you say, I don't quite understand God what you're like, Jesus, turn to Him and He will help you see God clearly. He will. So, the only thing that grows in the dark is mushrooms. You don't want to be fungi, do you? You want to have the light shining so that you can grow properly. Okay? I wonder what we could say that could be. Warmth. Okay. I think it's a very important part of the Christian life. Okay, and some people don't quite click this. That we need each other in the body of Christ. Christ's people. There's no such thing as a Christian on their own. We can't live as a Christian on our own. And when we're saved and born again, we're brought into the body of Christ. And that's, we're connected to each other. And we need each other. So when we're together, we warm up. And when we're apart, we hardly even realise it, we go cold. We cool down and we're less interested and less enthusiastic and less keen for the things of God. So it's really important to keep meeting together. That's why I'm glad you've come this morning. It's really important to see Christians in action and to help each other. And that's one of the reasons why we can have the food afterwards, so we can get to know each other better. We can pray for each other. We can help each other practically. We can love each other. And that's how it works. Okay? So, with all these things, are you making progress? Say to the Christians, the adults, and the children, are you making progress? Are you going somewhere? Or are you like that one on the rocking horse that looks like it's going, but actually it's staying still? Ever seen somebody on a rocking horse? Lots of action, but they're staying still, they're not going anywhere. Okay? And in fact, on holiday, there was a yacht with a lovely big sail, and it was flapping in the wind, and it looked like the boat was going somewhere, but actually, a couple of minutes later, it was still in the same place. You know what? Hadn't taken the anchor up. The anchor was still there. And sometimes we can be so anchored in the things of this world, the things we love in this world, all the things around us, that we don't actually make any progress. And somebody had to come along to the front and pull up the anchor, and it was very hard to do it because it had obviously been down a long time. So that's what we need to be careful of. Spend time with each other. Keep our spiritual fervour serving the Lord. And that's why we are together. Okay? Now, you said something grows very quickly, didn't you? Can you remember what it was? Weeds, yeah. So watch out for the weeds. You've had a lot of houses knocked down near you, haven't you? They started with just plain earth. Are they plain earth at the moment?
No, it's before the weeds.
Before the weeds, isn't it? Did somebody plant the weeds?
No, we just saw
okay. You don't have to plant weeds, do you? They just come. And if you're not careful clearing the ground and making sure you're watching over the ground, they will come. They will come. And so do nothing, and the weeds will come into your life. Actively put the Lord first, and you'll help clear the weeds away. And we need to keep growing. That means giving continual attention to our lives. And in fact, there's one vine in Hampton Court that has been there for 160 years. And last year, it ripened 600 fine clusters of delicious grapes. You see? And the reason why it's done so well is because it's well looked after. And that's why it produced good fruit. And so our lives, your lives, my lives, need to be well looked after. And we will make progress. Even if we're not seeing it ourselves, we will. So, just to finish, you are changing, but are you growing? And if you're growing, don't just mean taller. Are you growing in other ways? More like Jesus, who's the example of a perfect life? Or are you growing in bad ways? How are you growing? How much are you growing? Anybody know which is the slowest plant in the world to grow? We've had the quickest, which is bamboo.
Trees?
No.
Strawberries.
Strawberries?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Trees.
Apple trees?
Sunflowers?
No, good try. Anybody like to say the slowest growing plant in the world? Maybe some of you have them in your... the sort of thing you put on your front door sometimes.
Cactus.
Yeah. In a good year, it'll grow this much. So it's not going anywhere very quickly, a cactus. So, bamboo, or are you a cactus? A bit prickly as well. Yeah? Because if you don't grow, you become a bit prickly. But bamboo is very useful. You can do all sorts of things with bamboo. So if you haven't already started, start today, put Jesus Christ in the centre, and start to grow well and do well. And we can all will help you along in that and rejoice at what God is doing. So let's pray, and then we'll finish with our final hymn. Father, we thank you for your kindness in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. And that he is the source of life for us as we seek to live in this world. And thank you that he not only came to this world to suffer and to die, to be that seed that was buried in the ground and came alive again, but he's also wanting to produce growth in us, in him. So help us, Lord, to take on what we've heard and what we think of you, what we know of you, and to grow in a way that pleases you and prepares us for heaven. Lord, we know that this life is short. We thank you for the prospect of heaven ahead, and we pray that you'd help us to be prepared and be like Jesus, that we might be attractive and see other people would see Jesus in us. So help us, we pray, in his name. Amen.
Amen.